Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And you're here. Thanks for choosing the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Your quest for podcasts of the paranormal, supernatural, and the unexplained ends here. We invite you to enjoy all our shows we have on this network. And right now, let's start with Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself. Hi, I'm Sandra Champlain. For over 25 years, I've been on a journey to prove the existence of life after death. On each episode, we'll discuss the reasons we now know that our loved ones have survived physical death, and so will we. Welcome to Shades of the Afterlife. We've spoken a lot in the past about dreams we have at night of our deceased loved ones, you know, those dream visitations. Also, lucid dreaming, getting into that very real space and inviting your loved one in. Dreams of our loved one are so comforting. But today, we're going at a different angle. This is in that time between just waking up or just falling asleep and being awake and inviting our loved ones in through the dream gate. Today, you'll meet Dr. Janet Pitalato, who is a psychologist and has given her life to the dreaming world. She holds two doctorates, including one in transpersonal psychology, where she studied with Dr. Stanley Krippner, a world-renowned dream psychologist. Through her writing, she offers a glimpse of the inner world that we can access through our dreams. Let's meet Dr. Janet.
I am a dreamer, and most people who do know me know that I already have my memorial stone in the ground, probably for the last 15, 20 years. And beneath my name, it says dreamer. I look at a life that I've worn many hats. I've been a daughter, a wife, a mother. I've been a professor. I've been an author. But I've always been a dreamer through all of it. So while the hats come off and I move through different phases and new chapters may open in my life, it is the dream gate that basically gives me life. Most of us look at our lives and say, we get up in the morning, we go to work, we see, feel, hear, touch, and taste everything around us. We communicate with our physical world, but we're only half awake if that's all we pay attention to. Sandra, it really is moving the waking world to join with the dream world to elevate consciousness. Consciousness is all around us. We sit in consciousness. as opposed to those who think consciousness is in little envelopes inside our brain. The Egyptians pulled the brain out and threw it away. They were right, because it's only a transformer. But that invisible, hidden part of ourselves, the Sora Mystica, is really what life's about. And for me, that's the reason why I'm alive. Without it, what I see in the physical world is not enough to seduce me to be here. But when I join my dream gate information, all of what I get, and I don't mean dream by just putting the head on the pillow, going to sleep at night, and perchance remembering one out of the five dreams that we have. Every 90 minutes at night, we're going to have a dream. We just don't remember it because we don't wake up. And memories of dream material made at night are not stored the same way as our working material during the day. And so we may get one dream at night we remember. And if we're clever enough, we write it down. I have thousands of pages of dreams from the time I was a child. And those dreams will still have something to tell me, because the superficial of the story of the dream is not what we need to see. It's what's beneath it. And that's what dream therapy is about. The dream may tell us that there's a particular person in a particular place and particular events, but each one of those is an image. And that image is a doorway. And that doorway brings us to remember something else. Until in the end, we have this eureka moment when we say, oh my goodness, this dream is telling me something that you need to know in your life that you've missed. Do we only get it during sleep? Absolutely not. During the day, we can be at a computer doing our work, and all of a sudden, like bubbles in a champagne glass, material rises. We're thinking about someone, we're thinking about an event in our life, or if it's someone like me, suddenly I'm in Egypt, and I'm seeing my friend, my families that are in Egypt, and I'm seeing them doing certain things, and I can pick up the phone and call them. We call that remote vision, and I'm seeing something that happens. Why? It's not out of body. If we're out of body, we're dead. But when we extend our body, expanded body is what I like to call it, we have an expanded experience because we're welcoming consciousness all around us. It's very shamanic. What does a shaman do? A shaman goes into the dream world. What do the Aborigines do? They go into the dream world. That doesn't mean that you put your head on the pillow and go to sleep. If each person in life would only do this, would be aware, they're standing in a grocery store and all of a sudden they're remembering being a child and their grandmother is making a cake that they like and they're sitting down and they're talking to her. If they would realize that that's a message, you're seeing something on a landscape that's not around you, that's not in your physical environment, but you've gone beyond time and space to connect with something or someone that's not in your environment right then and there. And you put that material down. And of course, you begin to analyze it and walk through the doorways as to what it's going to tell you. For me, this is what life is about. I've had tragedies in my life. And if that's all I would be looking at, why would I want to be here? I would say life is just tough and these tragedies are not pleasant. Therefore, I could curl up in the corner and cry all day or say it's unfair. But I don't look at it that way. Every tragedy is an opportunity. The heart breaks open so that more can happen and we can see more. And by going into the dream, we understand our life here is so transient. Look at all of the generations and millennium that have passed before us, Sandra. They've all gone somewhere and we're going to join them. We're going to connect with every one of those ancestors and we can do it here and now too. So my life is very much about walking that magical path of the Via Mystica, the mystical path. What I see in waking reality is important. We have to pay our bills. We have to pay the taxes. And we have to eat. Yes. And I have a chef's degree as a pastry chef. I went to the French Culinary Institute and actually moved into the city while I took the coursing. And unfortunately, my firstborn, my little Jeanette, developed leukemia. And then shortly after, unfortunately, my beautiful son, Ignatius, passed away with aortic stenosis. I've grown up with death. I often tell people, and this is good for anyone who's suffering and has lost a loved one, that we have the story of the Garden of Eden, and there's a tree in that garden. And the Judeo-Christian story is, well, we eat off the tree, and this is why we are sent down as the fall from grace. And I have a little different interpretation. We have a fall, but it's not a fall because we did something wrong. It's a fall in consciousness. We're in that garden and there's a tree And there's wisdom on that tree. And that wisdom is spoken by the snake that's immortal, that sheds its coat and becomes new over and again, that never dies. And the snake tells us, come, would you like a bite of the apple? But there's a contract if you want that apple. The apple is bittersweet. And if you wish to bite it, the contract is that you will suffer as well as having joy. You'll see your beautiful life, but you'll also be disappointed in things. You'll have losses and you'll have gains, all pairs of opposites. Would you like to experience this? And so each one of us that's here has bitten into that apple. And then the crux of the matter is there's always an image of Adam and Eve being escorted by an angel through a doorway through which the Grim Reaper stands. Death is by the doorway. And if we understand that, that's the hope, that death will bring us back to the great Garden of Eden. That's the promise that we're going to be born, but the birth that brings us here, there's another birth that brings us back into the garden. Death is our best friend, saying that our life here, as wonderful or as horrible as it can be, is all transient. Every moment is flowing toward our return home. And I can look at this and say, truly, I had an experience which showed me 100% this is what it is. My daughter was ill for 5 years, and she was taken care of in Sloan Memorial in Manhattan. I met many people with children like mine that were already on the line to go home. And it was interesting because at this place, I met people from all over the world that I'm still very dear friends with. We experienced something that no one wants to experience, and yet it opened our eyes to something great. When my daughter was at the very end and the hospital could do no more for her, they sent her home and they sent me all the injections and everything to do for her, to give her the infusions. And I would wake her up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I still wake up every 4 o'clock in the morning. And I would have to attach her med port to the chemo. But the chemo would only run 40 minutes. And I was not given a chaser of saline that I could go to sleep. So I would kneel on the wooden floor. And it was September, because she was in palliative care under me from September through January. And while I was on the floor, I would have my rosary beads with me. I'd just say the one prayer over and over and over and over and just don't think. And that's what I would be doing at 4 o'clock in the morning, watching the chemo drop. And suddenly, I found myself on the ceiling of the room, looking down at my body that was saying the rosary, my daughter that was getting the chemo. And I heard a voice, and the voice said to me, "You agreed to this. Do you remember?" And believe me, Sandra, when I was up on that ceiling, I not only remembered and knew that I agreed, but I also knew that it was absolutely no big deal. It was as though I had agreed that my daughter would go and play in the park for a while without me, and then I would eventually go to join her. And then all of a sudden, I would be washed back into my body, and I'd say, "What was that? I agreed to that. That's horrible." And I would move through September, October, November, December. Every week, she had that infusion that I had to give her of chemo. By the time she passed away, I was totally convinced that there was a truth to that, that each one of us has a pre-birth contract. We bite into that apple, but we're given choices of what we're going to experience in life. And then we're sent. And usually there's the story of being dipped into the waters of forgetfulness. So if we realize death is our friend, because we're going home and we're not home, we're visiting here. We're visiting. And I remember telling my mother that when I was a child. I was visiting. She wasn't really my mother. The family wasn't really my family. And my name is not really Janet, because who was I before she gave me that name?
I'm going to stop Janet here until after the break, because she goes into a story about meeting up with her grandfather, who is deceased. Now, notice that Janet had those supernatural experiences at 4 o'clock in the morning while she was giving her daughter chemo. There's something about that twilight time. So we'll hear more from her when we get back. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Stay right there. There's more Sandra coming right up.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, the Coast to Coast AM YouTube channel is waiting for you now.
Go to coasttocoastam.com for more information.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Dr. Sky. Keep it right here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we're here with Dr. Janet Pitilato, dream expert.
I was home. I was not in school yet. So I was about 4 years old. My mom got a phone call that my grandfather, her father, had taken a stroke, and we went down to Grandpa's house. I stood by his bed and I held his hand as Grandpa died. And Grandpa passed away holding my hand. And my mother opened up my fingers and brought me home. And I ran up to my bedroom to play. And Grandpa was sitting on the bed. And we played and talked. When I was taken as a little girl in my little white dress that my mom made me to the funeral parlor, I still hate gladiolas to this day. The whole hall was lined with them. And Grandpa was in this box and I couldn't understand because I knew he was still all right. And he came to visit me again on the eve of my wedding, coming into my bedroom. So I've been extremely lucky. My daughter also appeared to me after she passed away. It's very interesting because it was 25 years after her death. I was not looking for her. It was, and this is important for people to realize, it was not listening to somebody's voice speaking and getting energy around them. It was in the middle of the night, this time of the year. My husband was an accountant. He was working. I kept on getting up from bed to tell him, come to bed. He's working too late. It's too late, too late. And I finally wake up and I think I see him standing by the bay window in our home. And then I realize it's not my husband. It's not Iggy. It's my daughter, Jeanette. And I knew immediately that this was going to be very fast because I knew she had passed. She came to me. She was physical. I hugged her and she was warm. And she said to me, don't forget me, mommy. Now, we had boxes that we had put together with her toys, and we had only begun to dismiss them and pass them away. And I called my husband to be in the room, and he appeared in the room, and she said to him, thank you, Daddy. Thank you for saving my pony. And I didn't know what she was talking about. In the morning, I realized that I was in what's called a hypnopompic state. You're coming out of your sleep state, but you're not quite in waking reality. And she disappeared in my arms. I said to him, do you remember dreaming last night? Because I knew he hadn't physically walked. He didn't remember anything. I said, it's strange because Jeanette said, thank you, Daddy, for saving my pony. He was very quiet. There was one box at the very end of what we were putting into a big dumpster. And I said to him, don't even bother to open it. I can't bear to look at these toys. He looked at me sheepishly and he said, there were two things I saved. I said, what did you save? He said, I don't know what I saved. I said, where'd you put them? He said, I left them in the garage. I didn't want to hurt you, so I didn't bring them in. He brings it in, and one is my little ponies with the little ponies. Now, the connection of Jeanette in the middle of the night, giving me substantial confirmation that she's there, telling me something I don't know, he doesn't know, that he actually has to go out in the garage and get. That was an amazing experience. But at the same time, my husband lost a brother when he was only 12 years old. And he really never recovered. I had a hard time speaking to him about it. He played the accordion. He never played for me. His life changed. It was just the two boys. The brother was much older. He was 19 when he passed away. I never met him, obviously. And at the same time that this happened with Jeanette, I'm in my office, which was next to my husband, and my brother-in-law walked in to my office. And I knew it was he because I know what he looks like. And again, Sandra, I was not looking for him. I said to him, don't you tell me that you love Iggy, because I know that already. I said, give me something so that I know you're really here. So he opened up his hand and he showed me a photograph of my husband dressed in a baseball outfit. I said to him, no, absolutely not. I said, I know he doesn't like sports. This is impossible. So he disappears. I went into my husband, the office right next to me, and he said to me, I don't know what to tell you. He said, you know me. I said, did your brother ever dress you up for Halloween or whatever? No, he knew nothing. A couple of months later, Iggy's best friend walks into the office. He has an article from our Staten Island newspaper. And the article reads, Ebbetsfield last game had island flavor. And in the very center is a picture of my husband in a white baseball outfit, the same picture that his brother showed me months before. Now, I didn't see the entire group. He only showed me Iggy. Iggy recognized immediately from what I had told him. And he comes in. Apparently, the Staten Island group had played in this game. And he comes in and he says to me, this is what Vito showed you. I said, Iggy, I didn't see all the boys around him. I just saw you in the white outfit. I said to him, don't you remember it? He said to me, no. He said, I don't remember anything about it. So I looked and I said to him, when did Vito die? This was taken after Vito died. So obviously my husband was in shock. He's 12, 13 years old. He doesn't remember anything, even decades later, taking this picture. So I walk back in my office. He's standing with his childhood friend, and Iggy's brother's in the office waiting for me. And he said to me, go back and tell my brother to show you my best friend. So you'll be hysterical. I'm not very polite with these visits. And I turned around and I said to him, they were all little boys in that picture. I said, what are you telling me, your best friend? You're a lot older. He disappears. I went out and I said to him, Iggy, Vito just said that and again, my husband knew I always saw things. And he puts his glasses on and he points to one of the men at the top and he says, yeah, he said, this was my brother's best friend. He wanted to try to make a match with our cousin. So how do you explain? Now, you spoke about Stanley Krippner. I told Stanley this. And as Stanley said to me, this is called super psi. He said, you have somebody from the other side coming to tell you and show you a picture of something that happened after they died. And that picture is not going to show up in a local newspaper until a couple of months later. It's probably not even an important piece. It's a filler. This is not really news. This is something that happened years ago. He said, your mind would have to go to the past, to the future, to the back. He said, the easiest explanation is that Vito came and spoke to you. And of course, unfortunately, he never came back so that I could apologize and say to him, I'm your sister-in-law, and boy, I didn't give you a great meeting. But for those that suffer and don't have these experiences, know that they're for all of us to understand. We don't die. We absolutely don't die.
Those are verifiable bits of information, and I'm sure that he has forgiven you.
I wasn't looking. And I give classes for a lot of the mediumship places. I taught an Arthur Finley on dreams. But one of the things I don't like to do is to sit and listen to voices, and because there's energy around people. So I love the fact that mine comes spontaneously. I'm in my office minding my own business and my brother-in-law shows up. I'm not thinking about him. I'm not looking for him. We haven't spoken about him, but he gives me such a validating, and really our non-believers, they're not going to believe because I tell them something. They need to have the experience themselves, which is what my therapy is about. People will come to me that are grieving, and I bring them into dream through what I call the lucid waking dreaming state. And that state brings them communication from ancestors near and far, because we're related to everyone. But dreams make us live, and they make us move through tragedies, understanding that it's just another experience. It's like my daughter dying. It was such a gift to have her. And I'm going to join her. She hasn't gone anywhere that I'm not going. But the communication from her was amazing, the same way from my grandfather. And I've been lucky because I've had many others. I don't want to spend the whole time on them. But it just to give people a little sight and hope that it is in dreaming and not just head on the pillow at night, but in waking dreams that they can connect.
Can you give us some things that we can do ourselves? I'm fascinated by the whole lucid world. Let me just compare. There's so much evidence of the afterlife out there. But to most people, that tipping point hasn't occurred that most people have the information. And I think the dream world is the same thing. People go to bed at night. They think of their dreams as just what happens. Maybe they remember them. Maybe they don't. But I also think that tipping point can come too with how valuable our dream world is to so much. But I know so many of us want to connect with our loved ones. Would you offer any tips as to how we could get into that lucid world ourselves and know that our loved ones are with us?
And first of all, a lot of people think that the lucid for the dream is at night dreaming and being aware that you're dreaming. And that's very true. But as I've had a communication when I taught for the society that studies the dreams, and I disagreed with them because, again, I'm always walking the opposite direction of everyone else. But for me, it's not just lucidity during a night dream. And many people can't do that. And that's fine. It's not important. But we can have a lucid dream when we're awake. A shaman has a lucid dream. He's awake. He's aware that he's in another state. A medium, especially a trance medium, is aware that they're in another state, unless they're so deep in trance and then they're not aware. And that one is not really the state we want to be in. We can do this. And how do we do it? All right. First of all, I'll start with the night dreams because that's what most people want. You don't need to look for a lucid dream at night. But when you wake up in the morning, if someone is going to work, if someone has an appointment at a certain hour and they need so much time to get themselves ready to shower, to take their coffee, whatever it is, put your alarm clock on with a soft, gentle waking like chimes about 20 minutes to a half hour before you need to get out of bed. And then don't move. And say to yourself, where was I? Where was I? The Egyptians felt that dream was a noun. And the hieroglyph for dream were feet and an open eye, an eye that was seeing. They were going someplace. Dream was not a verb. Dream was a place. And a lot of healing that happened during the dream. And part of healing when we're grieving is connecting with an ancestor who passed to show us that they are still alive, because our waking life contradicts that and says that's not true. So you're awake, you've got 20 minutes, a half hour. You ask yourself, where was I? What was I doing? Who was I with? And how do I feel about this?
We'll go to the break now and then we'll come back so you can hear it fully, her description, how you can walk through the dream gate. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Keep it here on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Sandra Champlain will be right back.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always gonna have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Coast to Coast AM mobile app is here and waiting for you right now. With the app, you can hear classic shows from the past 7 years, listen to the current live show, and get access to the Art Bell Vault where you can listen to uninterrupted audio. So head on over to the coasttocoastam.com website. We have a handy video guide to help you get the most out of your mobile app usage. All the info is waiting for you now at coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ufologist Kevin Randall, and you're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we're with dream expert Dr. Janet Pitilotto. She recommends setting your alarm clock to chimes or gentle music 20 minutes to half hour before you wake up. Let's continue.
So you're awake, you've got 20 minutes, a half hour. You ask yourself, where was I? What was I doing? Who was I with? And how do I feel about this? And then you say, I remember nothing. Okay, it's fine. Either get a tablet or a piece of paper or a pad or whatever you want to do. Sit up and say to yourself, right now, where am I? All right. For me, I'd say I'm at grandpa's bed. Why? Simply because that's what came to me. And I'm holding his hand. And yeah, what's happening here? My mother is off to the side. I'm in the family house. This is my maternal background. And grandpa is there. And what's happening here? Grandpa is transiting because the next thing I see, we're still in a bedroom, but it's my bedroom. And grandpa's sitting on the bed, hugging me and talking. How do I feel? Fabulous. Okay, so you're going to say you just made that up. Yes, I made it up. By faculty of my imagination, the faculty which allows me to make images, the image is important. Without that, we wouldn't know where to go in the morning. We wouldn't even know where we were. People that have Alzheimer's, that's part of the problem. There's no connection to these images anymore. They don't know anything. When people say to me, it's just my imagination, cut out the just and say, yes, it's my imagination. And thank God I have it because it's the tool that allows me. Now, what is this telling me? Actually, it was the perfect example because I don't hesitate, as you notice. I don't have to sit here and say, oh, where do I want to be? I said, what wanted to come? Grandpa, notice I didn't say dying. He transited because we did transit. We moved from his bedroom where the physical passed into the eternal, which was me as a little girl sitting on my bed, seeing my grandfather very much alive, communicating with me. The dream, which I just literally let come out of the unconscious, is here to say to me, there is life after passing from the body. There's absolutely no question. It's giving us the hope in something that should come. And it's opening up another doorway for me. And that doorway was in another dream that I had, where when I came to the door, there was writing. And I knew the writing was the Kabbalah, but I don't know the Kabbalah. And I'm lucid in the dream. And I'm saying, I wish they would have given me hieroglyphs because that's what I was studying. I could read hieroglyphs. But then I pushed the cobwebs away and pushed the door open. And a voice from inside literally said, "We don't die." The next day, my husband's friend and my friend as well, a Jewish man, had passed away. And I called his wife and I said to her, "And that dream was for you because the door had the writing of the Kabbalah, which is from Judaism." I said, "And the message from Mark was to tell you we don't die." So notice that from a little girl standing by a bed with a grandfather that's passing to a little girl moving to sitting on her own bed an hour after the incident with the grandfather who now is quite alive and vibrant. Sir Isaac Newton, one of the most brilliant brains that ever came on the planet, spent years, decades in alchemy, looking for the truth. And he wasn't looking to make gold. He was looking for the enlightenment of knowing. And what is that memory that we've lost? The memory is that we think everything that's around us is real. The truth is, nothing around us is real. My hard desk that I'm banging on, that's going to disintegrate someday. It's going to fall apart. But what I see in the imaginal realm is internal, which is why we can go past and we can go present and we can go future, because it's all there outside of time and connecting like that. So in the morning, when you wake up, whether or not you're remembering a dream, you do what I just did. If you don't remember the dream, what's popping into your head? Where are you? Who are you with? What's going on? And how do you feel? And you keep on writing. And then, of course, you have to amplify, as I did, to say, what is it making me think of? Where is it passing? Even to the door for Judy, who was my Jewish friend who was to lose her husband. And I had the message the night before of the Kabbalah saying, we don't die. That's one of the ways. And I certainly had a patient that worked with me. I do complementary medicine. He had cancer, but we were working on dreams. And he never remembered a dream in his whole life. He was in his 60s. And I said to him, we're going to do this. I said, I'll help you, but you have to make up a dream every morning when you wake up. And for weeks, he came. And every morning, every time he came, it was a made-up dream until one day he came and said to me, I didn't make up a dream for today. So I thought, okay, Al, that's fine. Not a problem. He said, no, I actually had one. So that's one of the ways that you can begin to have a dream. Also, you can dream incubate so that before you go to bed at night, sit there. And if someone just passed or it's somebody's anniversary or somebody's birthday and you're sad because you miss them, actually work yourself up into tears, be emotional about it, admit how you feel, and then pad and paper or hand to tablet and write down, I want to dream. I want to connect with this person and ask them a question and not a yes and no answer, something you would like them to help you with in life. Show me, like I was with my brother-in-law that I had only met twice, to say, show me something that's confirming. Tell me something that'll give me hope. And then go to sleep. Now, if you have trouble that you think you might not remember the dreams, a little hint is, for me, I drink so much tea every day. And I'll have two or three cups just reading my book at night. And I don't mind. I'm going to wake up during the night to urinate. And one of the things is when you wake up, you're going to wake up at the tail end of one of those dreams and you're going to remember it. And so I've been known to write as many as 5 dreams a night. So you can do that if you're willing to wake up and record the dreams. That will help you. If that's not working, we can do the waking lucid dream. And this is when we do what the shamans do. We dedicate ourselves to the harmony of the universe. We don't want to see anything that's going to be in any way invasive to anyone or hurtful to anyone. Never. And then we ask that there's a guiding spirit that will be with us. And this can show up as anything. It could be a grandmother, grandfather, could be a relative, a dear friend, someone that in our life passed away, but we would like to be with them as the guardian who is going to pass through the dream gate. And we can close our eyes and let the images rise. Some people hear things. Some people will see things, clairvoyant, audio voyance. It doesn't matter. And then we come up with some sort of a question. We're dream incubating. What do we want? Maybe we just want to see our beloved who passed away, our husband, our son, our daughter. And we ask that we might be able to see them. We close our eyes, soft music, something that's going to lull us, or just the quiet breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out, and then asking to be brought to a memory of something with the beloved. And what we tend to notice is the places that we go shift. There's something in it that we didn't see before. Perhaps there's a painting on the wall that we don't remember in the room. There's another room or a closet that we don't remember, or something on a table that's there. And we begin to communicate. In our mind, we start a conversation sitting at a table of the questions or what we wish to say to this person that maybe we didn't have time to say. I often have people grieving and they'll come to me and there was an argument and somebody passed away and they did not have the time to put an end to that argument. So this is the time to do it. And then they come back and they record and write everything that they saw, because there's little details in that vision that will give them the answers. And often when you're beginning on your own, which is why people go to people like me, you need somebody to help you. It was Carl Jung working with people for years. Each image opens up to something else that you didn't think of. So that dream that you may wake up, or even with the waking time when you're thinking of someone that you want to be with you to go through the gate, you imagine a gate or a door, maybe the house where this person lived, a table where you're going to sit in a conversation. You look for all the details of things that are in that, because each one will open up to a memory that will tell you something else. And all of a sudden, you'll be able to say, oh my goodness, I didn't think of that. It's called anamnesis. I didn't remember that. I didn't think of that. That makes me feel so good. That shows me this person is here. And sometimes it's only something little. I opened up the doorway one morning and inside there was somebody that I didn't know in life. I'd never met, but it was a husband of one of my clients. And all this person said to me was, my name is not, and he said the name that I knew him by from what his wife said, my name is, and he gave me something I didn't understand. He said, but that's not my name. And when I spoke to her during therapy, I said, I'm not quite sure what this means. I wasn't told anything else except, this is not my name. She said, my children don't even know that. She said he grew up in a society where his religion was not accepted. So he had to pass himself off as a Christian. And so that's why he took a Christian name for everybody to know, but that was not his name. I said, I wish I had more. She said, no, absolutely. You're telling me. And I wasn't looking for him. I go through the doorway every morning, every night. And during the day, spontaneously, things happen. And I know I'm sitting at my computer. I'm quite lucid. But I also know my consciousness has expanded. It's not left my body. I hate that expression, out-of-body experience. It's expanded body experience, but it's all dream. So I tell people, if you're not making the dreams at night happen, if you're not getting up and making up one in the morning and realizing that making up that dream, like what I just did with my grandfather, is important. And perfect for Grandpa to come forward for everybody today, because that message was for everyone. We don't die. And that's the message that you give. But if that's not what happens, then you have to give time to it. It's the via mystica, the mystical path. You have to be willing to be open. And you have to realize that that ridiculous dream that seems to be so totally crazy is not crazy at all.
Next, Dr. Janet will tell us about frightening dreams. Yes, we all have nightmares. But first, let's go to the break. You're listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Stay there. Sandra will be right back.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com. Over 5 years ago, George Norrie approached me with a unique concept, a dating site for people searching for someone with interests in UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, and the paranormal. From that, ParanormalDate.com was born. It's a unique site for unique people, and it's free to join to look around. If you want to upgrade and enjoy more of our great features, use promo code George for a great discount. So check it out. You got nothing to lose. ParanormalDate.com.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is afterlife expert Daniel Brinkley, and you're listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Shades of the Afterlife. I'm Sandra Champlain, and we're with dream expert Dr. Janet Pitalotto. Next, she'll talk about those dreaded nightmares.
I've had people come with dreams that they've been terrified. You usually have a frightening dream so that you remember it, and then you need to go through the doorways to what the dream is actually telling you. And the dream may be totally opposite of what you think, which most of the time it is. The dream is made of images, and the image is the key.
because it's the door. We put that key in and we open it and we go somewhere else. I was at a funeral that I wrote the eulogy for one of my best friends. And her mother died when she was like, I think, 6 years old. She had an aneurysm. So this girl, it was a tough life. But it was her stepmother that passed that I knew, and certainly that this girl grew up with. But as she was presenting the eulogy for her stepmother, her real mother was there. And I saw the real mother, but this is not the real thing. Next to her, there's another woman. And this other woman is not the woman who died, but she's telling me I was her second mother. And again, here I am saying to her, no, you weren't. Irene, who died, was the second mother. We came out of the church and I told my friend, and she smiled and she said to me, you didn't realize that. She said, but that was my grandmother. She was my second mother. My grandmother took care of me for years before my father remarried, and I didn't know that. So again, these are all substantial to tell right. people. Now I'm sitting in a church, awake, totally awake. I'd be some witness in court, that's for sure. They wouldn't be able to look at me and know where I was seeing what. But it's all to confirm that there is a life.
It is exciting. And the commitment has to be there. So I love that. I love what you say about setting the alarm half hour early to nice music or chimes or something. Because I know I've had it in those in-between moments. But then paying attention to the dream, if you can. And if you didn't have it, we can create it.
Create it. And the creation is just as important. And that's just, what you realize.
And then we could invite our loved one, right? And then see that gate and walk through it. And how do I feel? And I think the most important thing that you said to me is throw out the word just my imagination. The imagination is the key to the gate.
Oh, yes.
This is good. This is real good because everyone wants to feel
and
their loved ones.
Everyone can. I have nothing against mediumship where someone will get on a platform and give some messages. It helps in grieving. But it's a band-aid at best, unless someone has their own experience. And that's what I'm about. It's about giving you your experience. I can tell you what I've experienced, but I want you to experience your own, which is why all of my work on the Via Mystica, and there's at least once a week that I'm on with classes, it's all about people going in on their own and having experience and then sharing it. I often laugh. Christina Morgan loves it because she's down under and the sun is above and it's night for me and the sun has gone down. And I'm saying to her, for each one of us, we're looking and saying the sun has set, the sun has risen. The sun doesn't do either. The sun is always in its location. Our perception makes us believe that's what it's doing. Our perception is transient and passing and not true. So realize in life, what we think we're seeing is an illusion half the time. And what's hidden is beneath everything we see. The same way that when we look, I have my tarot cards. And I remember when the senior editor looked at the images all put together and said to me, every card is filled with all images. It's not a typical tarot, which some people hate because they want a typical tarot. That's fine. You can use it as one. But the thing is, I'm filled with images because that's what I'm about. The one card that only had an onion on it, she said to me, maybe you want to change this. I said to her, no, absolutely not. I said, that card is one of the most important because you have to peel that onion. It's many layers. And it may be sweet or it may be bitter. It may make you cry or it may make you remember maybe going out to dinner with your beloved and they served onion soup. And that was one of the times when you knew you loved them. In fact, sometimes you might look at it. It might be a ball. And other times, like I remember being at Arthur Findlay and using that card with a couple of people. And for one woman, I said to her, no, it's an apple. It's the apple from the fairy tale from Snow White. I said, and it's the evil witch and it's Snow White having to leave home because it wasn't safe. I said, there was something in your childhood that wasn't safe. And she said to me, yeah, her father was abusive and she had to leave. And of course, the card that was the onion turned into an apple for me and a rotten apple at that, brought me a fairy tale. And that fairy tale was right on for what this woman had to suffer in her life. So you see what I'm saying? That's what I mean by an image being doorways. The onion brought the door of the apple. The apple was rotten. the wicked queen looking in the mirror and then Snow White running away. It always fit.
You know how connected we are? Just before you started talking about the onion, I saw an onion in my mind and started peeling it away. And then you start talking about the onion card.
Perfect.
Goosebumps. Connected. Would those cards be a good tool when we wake up in the morning and we're in this spot? And if we don't remember our dream, to just take a glance at the card?
Okay, let me stop you for a minute, because one of the tools that I do recommend is shuffling the cards, just randomly picking two cards, placing them on the side of the bed at night, thinking about what it is that you want to dream about or who you want to dream about, and then taking one of the cards, look at the image, and it's someone with a crow on their back, but there's clouds in the sky, but a rainbow is about to appear. And so it is certainly appropriate for anybody who's suffering the loss of a beloved. They're sitting on the stone in the middle with the waters of the unconscious floating around them, the sun and the moon on either side. It's a cloudy day. They've had losses, and I've had people around me now with new losses. But it's showing you that there's something good coming. There's a rainbow in the clouds. Now, it's the only one that you look at, and you go to bed at night. And then in the morning, you either make up the dream, like I said, where were you? What were you doing? Who were you with? And how do you feel? So in a way, it really is saying, go into the dream, and the dream will help you to survive the tragedies of the physical. Because like the sun, that neither rises nor sets, but gives us the illusion of it, so does death not be the passing of the great spirit of who we are. We're eternal, and we go to that mansion of millions of years. But we don't know that unless we join with the dream consciousness. And as Carl Jung used to say, if all we do is look to the waking rational world, we're not awake. So don't we want to be fully awake? It's only by going in dream.
My mom woke up this morning and had a scary dream about my dad, who's deceased, and he was really mad at her in the dream. Just because we dream that does not mean our loved ones are mad at us. Can you just talk about some of the...
Yes, right. I can share a dream that a woman who'd lost her husband had and came to me and was terrified, so upset. In the dream, she's walking down a street and suddenly there's a tsunami and she's caught up in the water of the tsunami. If things could not get worse, there's a big black bear that's trying to get at her from this tsunami. It's a dream. So there's a telephone booth that she manages to get into. The water is swirling around her. The bear is banging on the door of the booth and the phone rings. She picks up the phone and it's her deceased husband. He's babbling on, not listening to her being frightened. All of these eyes are on her as though there's all these beings around her and they're just smiling. And she's terrified. And she finally gets so upset with her husband because she's asking him for help. And he's just being nice and kind, and he just wants to communicate with her. She wakes up terrified, so she brings me this dream. She says, it's the worst dream I've ever had. I said to her, I have to agree with you. It's a superlative dream, probably the best dream that you might ever have. First of all, the waters are the waters of the unconscious. You are not knowing how to swim in these waters. That's why they are swirling around you like a great tsunami. You're getting ready to drown in them. But the waters of the unconscious are trying to bring you a message. And the messenger is that big bear. Certainly in the Native American tradition, the bear is the healer. And the bear wants to heal you. So you get yourself in a box. But the box is still a box of communication. And all of those eyes that are around you are all the eyes of the ancestors that really want to help you to see, listen to the communication. They've got you boxed in. You're in the waters that are of the unconscious, and the communicator wants to give you a peaceful message telling you, do not be afraid. Don't worry. I'm here for you. I can always communicate, but you're so excited and upset, you wake up. Now, why were you excited and upset? So that you'd remember that your husband communicated with you in the dream. Because otherwise, when we have a pleasant dream, there's no reason we wake up. But when we have a terrifying, frightening, horrifying dream, we wake up. And that's when we really know something important, not necessarily bad, often good. And her whole life turned around, realizing, yes, he was able to communicate through that dream and through that box of communication. So your mom's dream, the fact that he's trying to communicate and that there's anger, first of all, means you're going to wake up remembering this. I want to shake you up. And second of all, I'm here. I want to let you know. And you're not angry when you pass over. The human emotions like that are gone. So I often say, in any of the mediums that I'm in their circle know this, that if they're presenting somebody that's mad over something, angry over something or whatever, they're giving the imprint of what that person was here, not on the other side. We all come to manifest a certain aspect that's important for the balance of the universe, and everything has to be here. So those of us who've come to carry our weight of sorrows are balanced by those who have the joys. I look and say, every time I cry, someone else is going to smile and laugh.
Thank you, Janet. Visit her site at janetpedilato.net. And always come visit me at wedontdie.com. I'm Sandra Champlain. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you for listening to Shades of the Afterlife on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Thanks for listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Make sure and check out all our shows on the iHeartRadio app or by going to iHeartRadio.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late-night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.